Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the radio 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app has the John and Ken on demand podcast, so you can listen to anything that you missed this afternoon. Ken is away today. Deborah's here. Steve Gregory is here, still reporting from Maui. The death toll, last report I saw, is 106. Mm-hmm. And they're still trying to reconstruct the mistakes and the responses that didn't work for much of the population that got caught up in this fire. Steve, what do you know today?
Yeah, and some more clarity is coming in about this. I don't know if you've heard about this alleged conflict, this water conflict. It's heating up. About people who have control over water, and people were begging for it before the fires. People wanted to cover their homes in water. They wanted to do some preventive measures and get the water and be ready to go. And apparently the people that were in charge of releasing water to these individuals was, you know, I guess playing hardball. And then by the time they released the water, it was an hour too late, and the fire had gone through there. That's the latest story on the island. It's been published this morning. So, and they were naming names, and it looks like that's going to be a point of contention.
So they wanted to take the water and hose down their homes in advance of the flames. Mm-hmm. And don't you have constant water service through the pipes? You have to ask permission to use the water?
Well, for like large quantities of water, and especially in the agricultural areas and these rural areas up here, because the northern area of Lahaina is you've got a lot of, it looks like fields, and I'm not sure we weren't allowed to get up in that area, but it looks like you've got some agricultural areas up there, and then you've got a lot of remote areas that count on large gallons of water, large quantities of water to sustain. But in this case, I guess they wanted extra water. And the governor was talking the other day about, you know, this water conflict that's been going on for ages. Well, I guess now people are naming names and blaming others and talking about like these water conservancy districts and whatnot. And when they were requesting additional water so they could, you know, do preventive measures, as I mentioned, it wasn't happening. And then by the time they did it, they said it was too late. So that is going to be a big, big point of contention.
So somebody in these bureaucracies had to turn the water on for these people to use it.
Right. I mean, in large quantities like that. Yeah.
Really?
That's, yeah.
And it's an odd system.
It is an odd system. But when you read like what all these different little, because, you know, we have like the Southern California Water Conservancy District, and it controls, you know, water access for, you know, hundreds of other smaller municipalities, for instance. Well, apparently these communities up here have their own water deals with these other regional conservancies, and the regional conservancies have deals with larger organizations like a utility or whatnot. So it kind of trickles down.
Mm-hmm. And
so
they have to like physically release the water to a geographic mm-hmm. area.
Right. If it's additional to what they have an agreement for already.
Wow.
And that's, I guess, part of what is going on here. Now, the governor has called another press conference today, this time at 1:30 p.m. in the same exact location as Monday. I will probably not go to that press conference.
Have you been banned?
No. I mean, here's the deal. And I reviewed this with my managers this morning, and I don't believe it's probably I don't want to be the center of any BS. So I think my presence there might be disruptive, and I don't want to cause any further problems. So I am going to record it. I mean, I have access to it, but I'll just record it off mm-hmm. to the side. But I don't think this is going to be the time, because they're already going to be, they're going to be ready for me. They're presuming that I'll be there, and I don't want to cause any problems. So I've got a colleague that's going to be taking care of things for me. While I'm not in the building, but I'll be outside the building.
And if you didn't hear yesterday, Stephen, the governor of Hawaii had a go around, and the governor lost his temper and then just started saying false things about Steve's questioning and demeanor.
Oh, I got to read to you a tweet that someone sent about that issue. I mean, it completely caught me off guard, and I was a little taken aback by it, but it said, when the governor lies on KITV4 about how Steve Gregory reacted to Green's childish response to the hard questions about the wildfire on Maui, how can anybody expect him to tell the truth about the official response to the tragedy?
Mm. Yeah, well, that's a great way of framing it.
Yeah.
So Josh Green, the Hawaiian governor there.
President Biden will be here on Monday, so they're getting ready for his arrival, too.
Yeah. You hearing anything more about the sirens not going off?
No. It's really now. It's because every time we try to find out officially what happened, because no one else is talking about. How can I put this? You don't get quite the internal sources here. Now they might have some local media people that have sources, mm-hmm. but they're certainly not leaking anything from the internal government side here. In LA, I already probably by now would have known who was responsible for flipping the switch,
right?
If it were in the LA area, because that's just kind of the way people are there. But here, it's pretty closed-lipped here, and we're not hearing like where does it trickle down. We just hear a lot of people being very upset. Now, what's an interesting movement here, John, is a lot of local, community leaders are starting to do these Instagram posts about their displeasure with what's going on, and they're getting angry. And these are natives. I mean, these are native Hawaiians with generations of families here, and they are coming out against the government, and they are coming out talking about how they've been slighted. They're coming out saying, this is another example of outsiders running our native land. And it's just very interesting to see now how this is sort of bubbling up behind the scenes. I would expect some action of some kind in the very near future.
Does the media there, and I know this is a generalization question, but do they seem a lot less aggressive than you'd normally find here in California?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could tell, again, the other day when when my exchange happened with the governor, and then when the governor made a big deal about, how many of you, by show of hands, how many of you went on Saturday to the scene, and it was 6 or 8 people raised their hands. Those were all locals. And I could hear them in the back of me going, I was there, sort of like, we support you, kind of in a very supportive tone.
Right.
And
supporting the governor.
Yeah. So it was interesting because I get it. I think I've mentioned it before. The locals here have to work with these people when we pick up and leave. I get it. It's a delicate balance. Now, yesterday, I was one of 3 reporters allowed into the scene. The FEMA folks worked very hard behind the scenes, and the mayor of Maui County, that's the way it's structured, he gave a verbal agreement yesterday to allow me and NBC and ABC into the hot zone yesterday. So we did our walking tour. And that's because the locals had their chance over the weekend. So they wanted to give us mainlanders, if you will, an opportunity to go into the scene. And I was told point blank it was because of my exchange on Monday that they had opted to let us outsiders in. So we got 1 hour on the scene yesterday.
I read something in a report that was really chilling. They don't have too many burn victims that they're treating because the fire just incinerated most
right.
of the victims. If you got caught in the fire, you died. You didn't get singed.
No. And then there's an interview I did with a survivor that lived in Lahaina, and he waited in his apartment complex because he was a lucky one. The only buildings that survived were made of cinder block, concrete, any kind of masonry. Those are the only buildings that are still standing. Wooden, even some metal buildings have melted, and they're flat on the ground. And he was telling me that his injuries, because he was bandaged up. I'm like, I said, did you get treated for burns? He goes, no, I fell down. The winds were so strong, it was moving his building back and forth and knocking him down onto the floor to where he sprained his wrist. He got a bruised skull in his forehead, and his injuries were from falls. But you're right. And one of the reasons that the way you described that, when I found out yesterday, that fire was moving 1 mile a minute. Think about that. That's how fast that fire was moving. 1 mile a minute.
So if the fire was a mile away, you had a minute.
You had a minute. You had 60 yeah. seconds before you were met with a wall of flame.
Oh, that's really hard to imagine.
So when they were running, and here's crazy. The other challenge. So I'm talking to Frank Taylor yesterday. This is the came in. And I'm going to play for you. So again, NBC, ABC, and me, we were the three reporters there yesterday. And here's a little bit of an exchange with that.
How would you describe the search area? How daunting is it?
It's the worst thing I've ever seen. I went down to Ida a couple years ago. That was pretty devastating, but this is apocalyptic. It's terrible. And it moved so fast that people couldn't get out of the way. And so, this is tops the list of worst disasters I've ever been on. So
you've been to hurricanes, to floods,
correct.
Massive wildfires. Where does this rank?
This is the top. If I don't know if you are familiar with Ida, but Ida was like this. I can't stretch my arms out long enough for this. I mean, and the vastness of it too. You'll see it goes. It started up on the top there. And worked its way all the way to the ocean.
He was pointing up to the foothills, and then it just rushed right down into the valley and right to the ocean. So I'm sorry. I know we're running late. So if you want to, I've got more if you want.
You've got more? Yep, absolutely. Yeah. More with Steve Gregory, KFI News, on the island of Maui, in Lahaina, the site of this. It's just overwhelming, the amount of damage, the amount of death that went on in that town.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 to 4 after 4 o'clock, iHeart app for John and Ken on demand podcast. We continue with Steve Gregory in Lahaina. I'm going to try to keep pronouncing it correctly. When I went there a couple of times, and for some reason, after visiting it twice, that the other pronunciation stuck in my head. I don't know. But it's Lahaina. And Steve is here because he got a tour of some of the fire-ravaged terrain. And you said you had more stuff.
Yeah, and so to bring everyone back up to speeds, yesterday myself and a correspondent from NBC and one from ABC were allowed in. And we were told by FEMA it was a direct result of the exchange between myself and the governor on Monday. Because we were being sort of ostracized and cut out of that. The locals media, just so no one sends hate mail, the locals media's were outlets were given access on Saturday and Sunday. So they already had their view of everything. And the perspective was interesting because I had gotten a lot of email after the incident on Monday. And people were saying, when FEMA comes to town, that's federal tax dollars. The minute the federal government steps in, that's federal tax dollars. It's only right that all of the federal taxpayers those across the country are given accountability of how their money is being spent. And I thought that was an interesting perspective. So that, and they were basically in support of what we're doing
here. Oh, yeah, but because most people, most officials in government would like to do everything quietly, shrouded in secrecy.
Sure.
They forget that they're all employees of the taxpayers, that they're hired for our benefit. And that's why they have to get smacked around every once in a while.
Well, and then, you know, this assertion that I need to be respectful. I'm really not sure what that means. And people who've been listening to me on the station for years, I'm not really sure what they think I'm out here doing. You know, am I actor out there, you know, walking all over, trampling all over people's private property and belongings? Here's the thing. This is really no different than any other wildfire I've been covering for 43 years in Colorado, Arizona, and California, and other states. But those are my three primary states. I've never walked on someone's private property without their permission. I have never removed personal belongings from anyone's private property. I've never walked on the ashes or the bones or the dead bodies of people who have perished in a fire. I've seen plenty of dead bodies, but the notion that someone, you know, would tell me that I have to be respectful, I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to balance that being respectful with holding those accountable.
They don't want to be investigated. They don't want to be exposed. That's what it's about. It's a ploy. It's not meant to be taken literally. It's understood as a ploy to try to deflect coverage and protect themselves.
So I want to play for you, again, this is Frank Taylor. He is from Nevada. He is with an urban search and rescue team who brought out one of the now 20 teams of cadaver dogs. They had to double the request because they really want to ramp up this recovery effort. And he's describing one day when he was walking by and something that he saw.
There was a couple over there by the camp, and I saw it a couple times. I walked by, and it looked like a burned carpet, you know, a roll of burned carpet. There's nothing left. It's cremation, basically.
So he was walking back and forth by this tent area that they've made a camp out of, but it was a home, and it looked like rolled up carpet that was burned. In reality, it was a couple, presumably a man, woman, who were holding each other, and they were embraced when the fire went over them and burned them.
Oh, that's so sad.
And when you hear him at the end say it was basically cremation, that's what he says they're finding more than anything are cremation remains of people. And that's why they are asking people, you know, loved ones and relatives to submit DNA samples on file, because that's the only way they're going to be able to identify these people. There are no fingerprints to be had here, nowhere. And they're expecting to find dozens more bodies, if not hundreds, before this is over. Now, they've searched almost of the area, and they were hoping to have it completely searched in 10 days. So that 10 days should be Sunday, Monday. Though that's the absolute latest. 106 perished thus far, but they have, and they've only been able to release the names of two people. And as we talked early in the week, John, a 74-year-old man and a 79-year-old man. So I told you that it was suspected it was going to be older people and children.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the two that they've released, the names, have been in their mid-late 70s. So that's the most gruesome part of this now, is what they're about to find as they continue to search.
Yeah, it sounds like it's only the beginning of finding remains.
Yeah, and then, you know, in a lot of these remains, they're having to make heads and tails of what it is that they're finding, you know, pieces and parts, they said, and just, you know, and I got to be honest, these FEMA teams are incredibly sensitive to what is going on. And the guy got choked up yesterday when he was telling us that he wants to give families closure, and he wants to make sure they have the remains so they can do proper burial.
All right, Steve, very good stuff. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Steve Gregory, KFI News, doing a fantastic job there for KFI and really the whole iHeart Media radio chain. When we come back, there's two other angles to this Maui wildfire. And one was geographically how it happened and how the government responded so badly to what in retrospect seems obvious. And then there's all these conspiracy theories from either lunatics were people pulling pranks online about how this all may have been Oprah's fault. Oh, and Carl DeMaio coming on as well. We got a lot to do. Yes, Carl DeMaio is coming on right after 1:30. And let me get his thing. And oh, yes, this is important because he's filing an initiative about the California ID Act for the 2024 ballot to require voter ID to be used in all future state elections. And we'll get into that as well. All ahead.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We continue here now with, we're going to talk with Carl DeMaio. He is the chairman of Reform California, an activist group that's trying to impose some order and common sense into the state of California and the way it's run. He is got a statewide ballot initiative being proposed that would amend the California state constitution and require, get this, I know this is controversial, that voter ID be used when people show up to cast their ballot. Can you imagine people showing their ID? Now, most people agree with this. There's just a bunch of screaming activist morons and politicians and media people who raise a ruckus over this. But if you're a normal person, of course you have to show your ID. And to make it state law, Carl DeMaio is going to explain. Carl, how are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
I've always thought it's one of the stupidest debates whether we should have voter ID or not. It's self-evident that we should.
It is, and a supermajority of voters agree with you. A Rasmussen poll taken in 2021 shows that a supermajority of 70% of voters in this country want voter ID, including a majority of Democrats, a majority of African Americans, a majority of Latinos, 78% of independents, and 86% of Republicans. So this is not a partisan issue. This is just a very common sense issue. The only people who seem to be diametrically opposed to voter ID are the politicians, the liberal politicians in California, and their allies in the media. So if we were if we are looking at a way to settle the debate on election integrity and say, look, we cannot be a functioning, healthy democracy when in 2016, Hillary Clinton and the Democrats think that the election was stolen, or in 2020, Donald Trump and the Republicans think the election was stolen. You can't be a healthy democracy when the pendulum swings that much. I think voter ID is a basic foundation reform that we've got to put in place to restore public trust and confidence. And that's why we filed the initiative yesterday. And now we got to get a million signatures. And to do that, we're going to need volunteers and support at electionintegrityinitiative.com. That's where people can sign up to become a volunteer. They can contribute. They can read my initiative in full. It's pretty plain English at electionintegrityinitiative.com.
Go through the main points.
Sure. And look, there are a lot of people who say, well, let's do this, let's do that. I needed to prioritize what went into this initiative using three criteria. Number one, it had to be supported by the public. The public wants voter ID, but they also don't want to make it harder to vote. So we have to balance what the public wants and the support that we can generate. Number two, we have a legal responsibility to comply with federal law, the National Voter Registration Act, U.S. Supreme Court case law. So there are federal statutory requirements that we have to make sure our initiative is harmonious with. And number three, I wanted to pick reforms that were going to have the biggest impact, even if it doesn't address every single nook and cranny. I think that this gets us 90% of the way where we need to be in fixing the problem. So the initiative requires, number one, that in order to cast a ballot in person, you need a driver's license or other form of ID. And number two, if you use vote by mail, you have to use the last three digits of your driver's license on the outside. You just put the last three digits on, as well as your signature must match. So we improve signature review, as well as require that that driver's license be put in place. Now, I know what you're going to say, John. You're going to say, well, what if people don't want to use their ID? Iowa has a voter ID. And so you can actually, under our initiative, we say either use your driver's license or other accepted form of government identification. So we can create a number of different ways for people to verify who they are, but we need to have that so that people aren't stealing ballots and casting ballots without permission. The second thing we do, we improve the maintenance of our voter lists. We have a lot of people on the voter list that are not residents anymore. They moved away decades ago, years ago.
Or they're dead.
And so they're dead, yes. So we know that we have a problem with the poorly maintained voter lists in the state of California. We do a few things there. Number one, our language puts in the Constitution, quote, a duty and authority for every county to properly maintain their voter registration lists. A duty and authority means that they can't hide behind the Democrat Secretary of State when she says, oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, don't use that database. Oh, don't go to the Postal Service and see if someone moved. That's not acceptable anymore. It would require that the county has its own obligation, in addition to what the Secretary of State has to do under federal law. The county registrar of voters has their own duty and obligation and authority to properly maintain voter registration. It also stipulates that for vote by mail, because remember, when COVID hit, the Democrat politicians said, oh, let's mail everyone a ballot automatically, even if they're not wanting a ballot, even if they've never done absentee balloting before. So everyone gets a mail-in ballot. Under our initiative, it says the county, if it obtains any information to suggest that a voter has moved, that the county will start the process of trying to verify whether that person truly has moved or not. But in the meantime, they will not be able to automatically mail them a ballot. Now, that does not mean that they're taken off the voter registration rolls, because what we want to do is err on the side of caution and say, look, maybe the Postal Service got it wrong. So that person can still go and vote in person. They can request a mail-in ballot at any time. So we take care of that. But what we don't want to happen is the automatic mailing of ballots to people who no longer are there and are not expecting to receive them. And then finally, we require for polling locations that the county publish wait times. And at the end of any election where they identify long wait times in a certain neighborhood, the county has to put together a remediation plan to improve its performance. So those are the three major areas that we are attacking. Voter ID, proper list maintenance so that we don't have people, you know, who shouldn't be receiving ballots getting them in old addresses. And finally, making sure we don't have long lines at the polling stations. I believe that this is a measure that any Democrat could be able to support, as well as any Republican. Oh, clearly the media and the politicians aren't going to like it. But okay, we've grounded this in a common sense centrist approach to fixing the election problems.
Very good, Carl. Talk with you again soon. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Yes.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 4 o'clock, the iHeart app for the John and Ken on demand podcast. We, you go to the podcast later and hear Steve Gregory. He was on with us first half hour. He's been reporting live from Maui all week. Very gripping coverage. And we wanted to thank a friend of KFI and the owner of Bravery Brewing in Lancaster, Bart Avery. He's been a huge help with our coverage in Maui. His contacts, his transportation, and his support has been invaluable for Steve Gregory and KFI. And you can find out about his brewery by going to BraveryBrewing.com. BraveryBrewing.com. So if you're in Lancaster, go to Bart Avery's Bravery Brewing and thank him for helping us out with the coverage. Now, on the other side of the Maui situation is the crazy people. Who these jokesters and clowns have spread on social media the usual idiotic conspiracy theories. And we usually ignore this stuff because I figure it's a lot of pranksters. There are people who read this stuff and believe it, but I think pranksters start it. And they have a formula. They'll actually use the same arguments and the same photos for several stories over the years, similar stories. And it's just the whole game. And, of course, the media is terrified that too many ordinary people will get sucked into this. So they have to debunk it. They have to fact check it. Now, that's also amusing. So here is one conspiracy theory that is going around that the elites, such as Joe Biden and Oprah, intentionally used lasers to set the fire in Maui. Because what they wanted to do was burn down the city and swoop in and buy the land. And they have photos to show space lasers. Now, these photos have gained millions of views across social media. So I guess if there's millions of people looking at this, you just need a tiny percentage of people to believe it, and that's thousands and thousands. These crackpots are pointing out that, well, look, the trees are still standing. That's evidence that the fires were not natural, that it was some kind of targeted burn. Everything is burnt but the trees. But don't point that out, or you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, actually, it's very common that trees are left standing after a fire because of the way the trees have a layer of insulation. And most trees survive wildfires, or some of them do. It's the bark, it's the dead leaves, it's the moist tissues. There's nothing unusual about that. But then again, the pranksters know that they're sending this information to a lot of people who would be ignorant of that fact. There's no reason a normal person would know that. There's one who identified this space laser shot is actually a photo of a controlled burn in Ohio in 2018. See, the way the photo is shot, it looks like there's some kind of laser beam coming from the sky, but that's actually, or what they call it, a lens flare, you know, when like sunlight or bright light reflects over the lens of your camera and creates a streak. Well, that's what this is. The space laser photos look like beams of light coming down from the sky and exploding in balls of fire. This was a direct energy weapon assault on the people. My friend in Hawaii showed a laser beam coming out of the sky targeting the city. Now they are convinced that this is all because Oprah wants to buy up more land. I've read that everybody fears that all the burnt out land is going to be devoured by the wealthy, and that they're going to have create an exclusive new community only for rich people. Here's another one that they tried to claim a few months ago. Remember that train that derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, and it had all these toxic chemicals burning? They tried to claim that now acid rain was going to fall all over the East Coast, and there was no such thing. So they jump on every one of these either accidents or natural disasters. And people eat this up by the millions because people just have nothing to do anymore. Now, coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to talk to Blake Trolley because this is a strange story. An L.A. County Sheriff's deputy had some type of mental breakdown going on and ended up getting shot to death by Fontana police officers on the Sierra Lakes Golf Club course. What went on? Well, Blake's going to try to explain. Coming up on the John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.